Let us pray. Enable us, O God, to open our minds and our hearts to Thee with the assurance that Thou art able to do more than we ask or think. Deliver us from evil and teach us to overcome evil with good. Deliver us from undue anxiety about the future, and help us to perform the tasks before us this day with the strength that comes from Thee. Deliver us from complacency, and mercifully grant unto us the will to excellence. In Thy presence and in the presence of one another, we pray for those who carry heavy burdens in our community of learning, in other schools, and in other nations this day. May Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us read responsively selection number 22, The Lord My Strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. At least two announcements should be brought to our attention, I think, this morning. On Thursday afternoon of this week at 4 o'clock, the Student Center building will be dedicated. If the weather is favorable, the service will be held on the patio. If the weather is inclement, The service will be held in the common room. All of us are invited to participate in this informal dedication of the building. And it is hoped that, if possible, all of us will be present. It seems appropriate also to call attention to the 15th annual commencement to be held here on May 30 and 31. The afternoon of Thursday, May the 30th, there will be a reception for graduates, their families, and their friends. And in this chapel that night, there will be a sermon by Dr. Theodore F. Adams, who will join our instructional staff in September. On the next day, Friday, the 31st of May, after the senior breakfast in the seminary cafeteria, the commencement exercises will be held in this chapel at 10:30 a.m. and Professor James E. Tile, professor of theology, will bring the message to the graduates. In these moments, I should like for us to think about a deeper community life. And I think there is a relation between the fourth verse of the 27th Psalm and the deepening of our common life. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty or the graciousness of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. At Trinity College in Canada a few days ago, I saw a report on theological education in the Church of England. The document is entitled Theological Colleges for Tomorrow and contains radical recommendations regarding several of the 25 theological colleges in England, in which 1,060 students are currently enrolled. The important item in the report, I think, is not the proposal for a reorganized structure of theological schools, but a consideration of the essential purpose of theological education. It defines the purpose as threefold: adequate education in theology, honest communication of theology in an age of doubt, and the provision of a community life in which prayer, self-knowledge, and commitment are deepened. One of the ways in which the quality of life is enriched and deepened is by daily participation in worship. The first six verses of the 27th Psalm is an affirmation of unshakable trust in God and the expression of a single-hearted desire to dwell with God, not as a guest, but as a permanent member of his household to the end of the days. The author speaks not as a light-hearted man who ignores the perils of a dangerous situation, but as a mature man whose faith has been tested in adversity, who reckons with the realities of human existence, and who is inwardly strengthened by the guidance and power which come from God. The fourth verse of this psalm presents exceptionally difficult problems to the translator, but there is no obscurity concerning the central message. In genuine worship, we think about God and His people, and we consider our commitments. We behold the beauty of God, and we inquire in His temple. Now let us look at these two ideas. We think about God and His people. In order to think about God and His people, we use the intelligence which God has given us. Intelligence is the ability to think, to search for knowledge, to distinguish things that differ, to evaluate, to understand, and to make wise decisions. This productive process, which is sometimes a painful process, takes place in the theological community at worship, and it deepens the inward life of each participant. It provides the context and the incentive for the formation of an attitude to be derived from the assurance of the reality of God, the nearness of God, and the grace of God. And in the second place, in this common life, we consider our commitments. We think about what God has committed to us. We consider and ponder what we have committed to Him and to one another. And we make new commitments. To commit is to put together, to trust, to rely upon, to prepare for action. It is a personal process, stimulated and guided in a group of thinkers and servants of God. You and I define a committee as a group of persons appointed or elected for some special task or function. But originally, each member of a committee was called a committee, a person to whom some trust our charge is committed. A renewal of this strong sense of personal responsibility is highly desirable in every major committee concerned with an important task in the world. Permit me in these moments to speak with greater intimacy than usual. Recently, a man asked me, "What are your commitments?" He probably was asking, "What is your schedule for today, and do you have an engagement for lunch?" But he received a more comprehensive reply than he anticipated. A forthright, friendly, personal testimony. And this 27th Psalm is a testimony. It carries the tone of a testimony. I replied to the question about my commitments that I have many commitments, moral, religious, legal, financial commitments. I said, "I am committed to my wife and children and grandchildren. I am committed to students and colleagues and neighbors, all of my neighbors. I am committed to the search for knowledge, the struggle for justice, and the ministry of reconciliation. I am committed to the church, the whole church, to the Southern Baptist Convention, and to this school." And then I added, "But all of these commitments are rooted and grounded in one commitment, a personal commitment to the living God, whose grace and truth are the ultimate source of my life and the foundation of all my hopes." I said, "I am willing to submit every question, every relationship, every issue to the most searching and the most critical examination and reassessment except one. Years ago, I made a reflective, unconditional, permanent commitment to God in Jesus Christ and my relation to Him is not open to examination. It is a permanent, unconditional commitment in the light of which every other commitment has been made." One of the keenest minds in theological education in the United States wrote a few days ago this sentence: Unfortunately for the church's interest in theological education, the trend which takes religion to the campus as an academic issue happens to converge in our time with another trend, the prevalence of candidates for the ministry who approach their theological education committed only to examining the possibility of equipment, of commitment. Now, it will take more than an academic examination of the possibility of commitment to meet the issues confronting the people of God in the days immediately ahead. It will take a reflective commitment which goes to the heart of a man's mind and is made in worship and is sustained by the grace of God. God has invited us to inquire in His temple. Do we have the courage to accept the invitation? Let us pray. Enable us, O God, to use our minds in the task to which Thou hast called us. Enlarge our understanding of what Thou hast committed to us and of our personal relationship to Thee. Enable us to examine the issues confronting Thy people at this moment in the light of what Thou hast done for us, in the clear understanding of who we are, and with a knowledge of what we are doing in Thy presence. Correct us, O God, and forgive us, we pray. Enable us by Thy correction and help to move from self-consciousness to social consciousness. And teach us by Thy Spirit that we are members one of another, Give us a compassion as broad as the human family. Give us insight as deep as the truth incarnate in Jesus Christ. Give us a sense of belonging to Thee and to one another, which is as strong as steel. And in all of our undertakings, may we help and not hurt one another. Until we come to Thy house, to go out no more forever.